So let your colors run tonight. We're painting in the dark. Let your colors run tonight. The colors of your heart.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Catchy Lengthy podcast. We are excited to be here. We're kicking off the new lectionary year, and we're going to talk about the series that we've picked for Advent this year. My name is Jonathan Sprang, and I'm joined by my good friend, Mr. Patrick Engel. What's up, buddy?
Hey, man. How are you doing?
Doing very well. And we're also joined by our good friend, Jennifer Chapman. How are you doing?
Doing great.
Awesome. Well, today we're going to jump into talking. We're going to basically just do a series intro podcast, just telling everyone what passages we're using and why, and then a little bit about the series title. And so but first, we thought it would be interesting to go ahead and talk a little bit about the season of Advent, just for those of you that are just joining following a lectionary. What's so important about Advent, Patrick?
Advent is the beginning of the church calendar. So in essence, when you start on week one of Advent, you're starting a new year for the church. So if, when you begin anything, it's good to have a trajectory. It's good to know where you're going and why you're heading that way. And Advent gets us prepared. It gets us prepared to kind of celebrate that past event of Jesus's birth, but then it also prepares us for the future and for what that return of Jesus looks like. So if you are a pastor or a preacher or a scholar of scripture, you know that in the birth of Jesus of Nazareth, it wasn't what the people of God were expecting or looking to. They weren't necessarily ready to receive the Messiah in the way that we read about in the Gospels, this infant being born in a backwater town from a backwater mom who was a virgin. And so in the same sense, our expectations of what it's going to look like when Jesus returns is probably going to be different than what we're thinking or what ideas we have. So for Advent, it's important as you get into Advent to prepare yourself, for what your church is going to experience through reading the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. But it's also important for us just to reframe our thoughts in what we are actually expecting when we proclaim the hope of Christ that he will one day return again to make all things new. And so Advent is a great opportunity. It's short. It's only 4 weeks, and it's really not a long series that we do. Even though we include the two Sundays after, which are technically considered Christmastide. But Advent in and of itself is just 4 weeks to think about the hope that we proclaim and what it is that defines us, because we're always people who are defined by that hope in Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and so that's actually one of the main reasons why this year we decided to call our Advent series What to Expect When We're Expecting, taking a look at what the Israelites talked about. We're going to be using the Old Testament passages. So we're going to be looking at what they kind of proclaimed and what they thought the Messiah would be. And of course, like Patrick said, recognizing that the Messiah they got was not the one they were expecting. And so we wanted to look at that. We want to look at those Old Testament passages, allow those Old Testament passages to inform us about what are the expectations we have for Jesus. What are the expectations that we have that maybe need to be changed, or things that we're looking towards or looking to that need to be adjusted a little bit. So we're going to be using the Old Testament passages to do that. And so we're kind of playing off of the idea of like a pregnancy. One, because it's Advent, it's the birth of Jesus, so it's that anticipation. We've talked about it in years past that Advent is somewhat of a, like, you know, it's not a static waiting. It's not like a sit back and on the couch waiting. It's an active waiting. It's a preparation for the Christ child. And so we kind of playing on that pregnancy idea. We went with the title What to Expect When We're Expecting. Because it's a communal event as well.
I'm glad that we're going with this with the Old Testament prophets, in talking about Advent, just because in looking through the next 4 weeks of Advent and the prophets that what they actually cover is that they're all speaking to a people who are in the midst of exile or in the midst of change. And if you are following pretty much what all the major voices in the church are saying, they're talking about how the church in the West as a whole is going through change. And so I think even if you don't preach through the entire lectionary, but you want to preach Advent or you want to preach Lent, this series itself is actually a pretty good series to follow or to preach through, because it will be addressing some of our current issues of what does it mean to be a church in transition? What does it mean to be a people who are expecting life to come, but we don't necessarily have an easy wait, nor do we know how long we're waiting for. Almost, again, kind of like a couple who are waiting for pregnancy, but say there's complications or say there's issues that's going on, and how long do they have to wait? How long does the mother have to be on bed rest and things like that, which can just bring up a whole bunch of issues that we have to be careful about, because there are many women and couples within our congregation that when you talk about pregnancy, whether it be bed rest or anxiety or just the fact that some people haven't been able to have a child of their own through pregnancy and birth, like those are some sensitive topics that we need to be aware of.
I wanted to speak to that for just a moment. I'm someone who has experienced pregnancy loss and have not yet been able to become pregnant and have a biological child. And so this subject, particularly when we began even talking about the possibility of using it as our theme, was difficult for me. And so it's just something really important to keep in mind, because in any congregation, whether you know it or not, if you have people of childbearing age, chances are someone is dealing with infertility issues to some degree. Maybe they've miscarried, maybe they're trying to get pregnant and they have been unable to do so. People tend to be very quiet about these things. And so it's definitely just something to keep in mind. And if you have people in your congregation who you already know are struggling with these things, then it would be a good idea to speak with them about some of the things that you're thinking about using as themes, how they're going to hear them, how they're going to feel when you talk about those things. And sometimes if you can be upfront with people and let them process that before you get there, then they're not blindsided on Sunday morning and really unable to hear anything else that you say.
Do you have any advice to give pastors like me who, even in when we were talking about it just a few moments ago, where I was talking about it, I felt like I was bumbling over my words. Do you have any like markings, like things to stay away from, or maybe correct terminology to use? Any suggestions like that?
You know, I'm not sure if there's really a terminology issue. I think that the problem is that when you're in the midst of infertility struggles, anything that has to do with pregnancy is just hard. So, you know, it doesn't matter if it's a picture of a pregnant person, or you're just talking about pregnancy, or especially if you're talking about the excitement of being pregnant or the experience of being pregnant, all of those things are just really sensitive and hurtful topics for somebody struggling with infertility.
That's something great to point out. And thank you, Jen, for reminding us of that in our planning sessions as well. It's easy for us, I think, to get in our own bubble and think something's really cool, but then not fully recognize what we're about to do. So thanks for pointing that out.
One more thing that came to mind for me is, you know, we've got, of course, the initial coming of Christ and his birth, and then we have the final coming that we're looking to when Christ returns and the kingdom of God comes in fullness. But one of the things that we've tried to touch on over the years is that not only do we have kind of this first and last coming, but we also believe that God in general is a God who comes. And so we are not only anticipating this final coming, but we are kind of looking to the God that comes in the midst of our struggles, in the midst of our world, the God that shows up. A lot of people in our culture tend to have a bit of an agnostic leaning where, you know, there's a God, but God isn't really involved in our world. And I think that these Old Testament texts in particular speak to a God who wants to come, who wants to redeem, who wants to be at work now, even before the final coming. So that's just something to keep in mind as well.
Absolutely.
That's so good. Yeah.
Well, thanks so much for listening to this series intro podcast from Catchy Lefty. And we're looking forward to tackling the next 4 weeks of Advent in the coming weeks. And we hope you'll join us back for that. My name is Jonathan Sprang, and I am at Catalyst Church in Rowlett, Texas. And you can connect with me at I Am Sprang on Twitter and Facebook. Patrick, where can people connect with you, and what church are you at?
So I'm at Faith Community Church of the Nazarene down in Durango, Colorado. You can find us at faithcommunitynaz.church, or you can follow me on Twitter at Patrick Glenn.
Cool. And Jen, where can people connect with you?
I am at Nexus Community Church of the Nazarene in Dallas, Texas, and you can find us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/NexusDallas, N-E-X-U-S, Dallas.
Awesome. And you can connect with Catchy Lefty on Facebook and Twitter, just at Catchy Lefty. We'll look forward to talking to you guys again next week. Until then, the Lord be with you.